Amen. I believe the Lord is well pleased with our singing. Sure sounds good to me. We're delighted that God has watched over us and give us the presence of mind and wisdom to come back on Lord's Day, fellowship one with another, sing praises to His name, and hear a word from Him. I call your attention to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. There is a chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. We trust that you've had a glorious day today. I will read two verses from that chapter, verses 10 and 11. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, and walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon His God. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in fire. You shall lie down in sorrow. What to do when the lights go out? You say, what are you saying? What are you saying in your mind? What to do when the lights go out? I have another one. You might like this one a little better. Or less. It's entitled The Bible. You say, what's going on? Just want to make sure you're paying attention. The Bible, God's good news. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. That's in the New Testament. Verses 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen to what he says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture. Is that in your Bible? All scripture is given how? Is given by the inspiration of God. It's given by the inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible, God's good news. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible consists of 66 books written by 40 different men over a period of 1,600 years. It is written by kings, soldiers, shepherds, farmers, and fishermen. It was begun by Moses in the lonely desert of Arabia, finished by John on the Isle of Patmos. Some of it, the Bible, was written in the king's palaces, some in shepherds' tents, some beside still waters, and part of it was written in prison. Sections of the Bible was written by highly educated men. Some of it was written by unlettered fishermen. It was written in different languages. It was written also in different countries. All of that difference made no difference in God's guidance. Yet, when all the books of the Bible, when all the books of the Bible are brought together, they blend into one great whole. They are a unit called the book. There are no contradictions in the Bible. There is no discord in the Bible. It is never necessary to rewrite the Bible and bring it up to date. You don't hear this. It is always up to date and free of error from the beginning. These men could not have written such a book without divine guidance. The Bible blends harmoniously because it was written under the guidance of the Holy Spirit and of God. Skeptics have been unable to find even one error in the Bible. There are no mistakes. There are no contradictions. Therefore, the Bible must be that book that is guided, that was guided by the direction of God in its writing. Someone wrote, I'm going to try and do this. Did pretty good at typing it on my paper. Someone wrote, the author is unknown to me. And he wrote, many years ago, I entered the wonderful temple of God's revelation. I entered the portico of Genesis, walked down through the Old Testament art gallery, where the pictures of Adam, Abraham, Noah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and Joshua, Samuel and David and Daniel hung on the wall. I entered the music room of the Psalms, where the Spirit swept the keyboard of nature and brought forth the deluge-like wail of the and the impassioned strands of Isaiah, until it seemed that every reed and every harp and God's organ of nature responded to the tuneful touch of these men, the sweet and David, particularly David, the sweet singer of Israel. He continues, the same writer, I entered the chapel of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher was heard in passing to the conservatory of Sharon, where the lily of the valley and the scented sweet spices filled and perfumed my life. I entered the business room of the prophets, passing to the conservatory room of the prophets, where I saw many telescopes of various sizes, some pointing to far-off events, and some pointed to the events that were close up, but all of them pointed to the morning star, which was soon to rise over the moonlit hills of Judea. Why? For our salvation. I entered the audience room of the King of Kings, caught a vision from the standpoint of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I entered the Acts of the Apostles, where the Holy Spirit was doing his office work in the forming of the church. I then passed into the correspondence room where sat Paul, Peter, James, Jude, and John, penning their epistles. I stepped into the throne room of Revelation, where all towered into glittering peaks. I got a vision of the King seated upon his throne in all his glory, and I cried, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all." Unquote. If the books of the Bible had been forgeries, they would not abound, and they would not be familiar in every century. The details would change, but the Bible never changes. The woman wiping Jesus' feet, that simple act would never have been recorded. Rhoda running to tell of Peter's knock at the door during the time that the Christians were being persecuted in Jerusalem. Peter was in prison, and he got out of prison, and he went where the saints will meet together and knocked on the door. A young lady by the name of Rhoda answered the door, but she didn't open the door. She was so happy she just ran back to the saints that were in the house to tell them, "Peter's at the door. Peter's at the door." Little things like that, the Holy Spirit takes the time to put them in God's book, the Bible. Notice the picture of Christ. No set of forgers could paint such a picture of a God-man that the world has since worshipped. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was at the age of 30. And you had to be 30 in the days of Jesus before you could become a teacher. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant teacher and preacher. That is, a traveling preacher and teacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never owned a home. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never traveled more than 200 miles from the place where he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness for individuals. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away, and one of them even denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a cross between two thieves. His executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on planet Earth while he was dying on the cross, his coat. He was taken down and laid in a borrowed grave through the love of a friend. Centuries, not weeks or days, centuries have come and gone. Today, he is the centerpiece of the human race, and all the armies that have ever marched, all the parliaments that have ever sat, and all the kings that have ever reigned put together have not affected the life of humanity so powerfully as this one gentleman that we're talking about here tonight. The Bible means everything to the human heart. The Bible, the book, contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners. The doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. And its decisions are undeniable or immutable. In other words, they cannot be contradicted. Read the Bible. Study the Bible. to be wise. Study the Bible to be wise. It contains light to direct you. The Bible contains food to support you, us. And the Bible contains comfort to cheer us. It is a traveler's map. It is the pilgrim's staff and the pilot's compass. The soldier's sword, the Christian's charter. Here in the Bible, paradise. Paradise is restored. Heaven is opened and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the center figure of the Bible. Our good is its design, and the glory of God is its determination. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide our feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth. It is a paradise of glory. It will be open at the judgment. The Bible will be open at the judgment. And we will be judged at the final roundup of human affairs by that which is written in God's holy book, the Bible. Did we confer and did we perform as we are instructed in God's holy book, the Bible? It grants us the greatest gift, and it condemns all who trifle with its contents. The Bible is the Bible is the book we can't refute. Indisputable, that's the word I was looking for. The Bible is indisputable. The Bible is God's power to save. The Bible is God's word. When the last battle has been fought, when the last victory have been won, when the last attack upon the Bible has been made and the last drop of martyr's blood has been shed, when the last prayer has been prayed and earth shall melt with fervent heat, the sky shall be rolled up as a scroll when it is rolled together. The Bible will still stand. And we will be judged at the final roundup by what's written in this grand old book called the Bible. Did you hear about the Bible? Let us take the time. Let us never get too busy to read, to meditate, and study this grand old book called the Bible. Read it to be wise, practice it to make heaven your home in eternity. And if we do that, at the final roundup of human affairs, when we stand before the great judge of the universe, we will hear him say, "Well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up a little bit higher, and I'll bless you richly." And the church said, "Amen." The lesson is yours. This is a grand book. There is no grander book. There is no other book on planet Earth that can guide us from earth to heaven, where we will live eternally. That means forever. And have no problems. Don't you want to go? I want to go. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian, you're not a child of God, This Bible tells us what you must do. You heard about this book. Believe it. It talks about our Savior Jesus Christ. Believe it. Receive it. Be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. That's called repentance. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's called confession. Confessing his faith. Confession who he is, the Son of God. And then be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. Come in, study, fellowship with the saints and believers, worship God, and one day, you will be able to hear the Father say, "Well done, a good and faithful servant. Come and live with me and all the angels of heaven." If you're already in the body, but you have not complied, you have not been an obedient servant, this is not the time to be afraid. This is not the time to be stubborn. This is the time to make your calling and election sure, because we don't know when we're going to be called off this planet called Earth. Make your calling and election sure. The privilege is yours. As we together stand and sing the song that has been selected.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me.